Turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 34. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 34. The words of Christ, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." And our subject is seeing realities in life. Now, this discourse was given when people were increasing in numbers. They were gathering very thickly, so we're told in an earlier verse. And Christ gives, among other statements, this extraordinary and unusual miniature parable. That's what it is, a parable, but in very short form. Just really in a single verse with a warning and an appeal added to it. The eye is made in this parable a picture, an illustration of the disorder of spiritual perception, the failure of men and women to understand spiritual things or even desire them, certainly to grasp them. And so an eye disorder is selected by the Lord as an illustration of this problem. He takes the organ of seeing and he demonstrates the problems that can come from it. Well, sight, obviously, is a source of great practical enabling. You can't imagine how you can function without sight. And it's also a faculty that brings great pleasure and delight to us, seeing things of beauty and things of great interest. It's vital to us, obviously, the capacity to see. Well, if people sadly cannot see and are blind, there are increasing measures to help life. But oh, how sight would be missed by any of us. Imagine, just to begin, a journey over difficult countryside. You're not blind, but you have very blurred vision. You cannot focus properly or adequately, and you've got a journey. It's over rocky terrain and hills, and there are many tufts and obstacles in the pathway in front of you. Well, how would you cope? How will you see where you are? How will you know your direction even? Your perception of these things is just not there. And you certainly won't see your destination as you approach it. You can't imagine the difficulties. But then apply this to the journey of life, to spiritual perception, your understanding of the purpose of life, the context of life, the destination of life, what follows this present material life. Think of these things. If your spiritual vision or perception is blurred or disordered, and you cannot see any of these things or understand any of these things, that's tragic. And that's how we all are. Before God works in the heart, and we're brought to seek him and to find him. We may be shrewd and well-sighted in material things, but our vision and our perception is awful in spiritual things. We don't know the deep things of life, the spiritual things of life. And that is what Christ is giving us a jolt concerning and remonstrating with us about. Look at these tremendous words. The light of the body is the eye. We're not accustomed to speaking in this way, but it is. If you see with your eyes, then your legs see, in effect, as though they had eyes. You see, your legs see, and you know where to put them and where you're going. You see, so your hands see, in a sense. It follows, and that's what Christ means when he says, "The light of the body is the eye." It's all channeled through the faculty of sight. And so it is with spiritual perception. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know about him? Have you sought him? Have you found him? Do you see yourself spiritually? Do you know your spiritual need and what God can do? Have you a sight of these things? If you have spiritual discernment and sight, then you have spiritual life. Your whole soul is full of light. You're reconciled with God. You walk with him. There's the analogy. So this is precious. It may be one of the shortest parables in the New Testament, but it's easily one of the most profound and searching. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. We look at this old translation, our King James Version, and we say, surely that can be improved upon, if thine eye is single. And not all, but a number of the modern versions, modern translations, they do try to improve it. And so they say, if your eye is healthy or good, and words along those lines, if your eye is functioning, and they have a crack at various different terms. But in doing so, they move away from the word which Christ actually used. That is one of the problems of translation. The more you try to help your reader, the more you are likely to move away from the original word. And here's a classic example. Our King James Version follows William Tyndale and uses the term, if thine eye is single. And that's very close to the original. The original Greek actually is a compound word, which means something like, your eye is folded together as one. In other words, the idea is, your two eyes are synchronized, and they're giving you the same vision. And it's not overlapping, you're not double-visioned, and therefore blurred, or something like that. Your two eyes are folded together and functioning together. And single, though maybe requires a word of explanation, it is the nearest thing to the original, and that's important. It's not just that your eyesight is good, as opposed to bad. It's single, it's sharp, it's focused. The picture Christ uses is all about focus and sharpness, and so on. Similarly, when he goes on, thy whole body is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, now there some of the modern translations go right astray in trying to help the reader, in trying to make it easier. And they leave evil and they say bad, or malfunctioning, or diseased, and various other terms they try. But what the Lord said is evil. And he meant it. When thine eye is evil. Not evil in the sense of morally wrong, but the Greek term is evil in the sense of being harmful, malicious, even spiteful against you. That's what the Lord meant. So our old version in this case, and not all modern versions stray from this, but most do. Our old version is right on the message. When thine eye is evil, it's malicious towards you. It's guilty of something. This is a guilty eye. It's spiteful. It's harmful. It's damaging. Your eye is working against you. And what the Lord means is your perception of spiritual things is actually blameworthy. It's wrong, it's willful, it's bad, and it's working against you, and it'll kill you, and it'll destroy your hope of eternal bliss, and it'll ruin your life and keep you away from Almighty God. So to keep close to the original is often very important, and to be over helpful takes you further from the message. When thine eye is evil, it's a malicious eye. I'll explain it. Thy body also is full of darkness, spiritual darkness. You're ignorant of God, ignorant of your own need, ignorant of the way of salvation. No light, no hope, no spiritual future. So let's talk for a moment, first of all, about the single eye. The eyes folded together. working in harmony, in unison. And this is about self. It's about seeing sharply ourselves. I am a sinner. This is a fallen human race. The Word of God teaches that we're estranged, alienated from Him, cut off because of sin. And I see that. I've come to realize it. I've come to accept the teaching of the Bible, of the Word of God. But God, in His kindness and in His love and in His mercy, has made a way of salvation. And Christ, the second person of the Trinity, has come from heaven to earth to suffer and to die for repentant sinners. And there is hope, and there is new life and a new heart, and spiritual life can be infused into me, and I can live and relate to God and know Him and love Him, and I can be changed by God. Why? I come to understand these things and know these things if spiritual perception is in focus. So that's the single eye. I can have a policy for life and eternity. But the evil eye, let's talk about that. The evil eye, it's to be blamed. It's culpable. It isn't just a bad eye or a focusing problem, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, astigmatism, something else. How unfortunate for you. You've got a problem with the eye, so you can't see so well, and you need specs or some other treatment. How unfortunate. The Lord just didn't say it was a bad eye. He said there's something wrong here. It's a guilty eye. It's a malicious eye. I am actually to be blamed for bad spiritual perception. It's because of my prejudice against God. It's because of some willful act of mine. I don't want to be ruled by God. I don't want to be taken from my sinful conduct. I don't want to serve Him. I want self-determination. I want my own way. I don't want my sin to be curbed. Maybe I love it. The fault is with me. My spiritual perception is bad, and it's to be blamed. It's an evil eye that means I can't see. I can't see willfully and intentionally. Well, that's hard for us to take. These are serious charges, but that's what the Lord says. The evil eye, bad spiritual perception, it's my fault, and it's malicious against me. Don't I realize I'm working against myself? My evil eye, my poor spiritual perception, my unwillingness to inquire or to learn about God and the way of salvation, the fact that I just see it in a totally vague, hazy way and I don't want it, this is working against me. It'll take me from God. I shall get worse through life, more cynical, further away from Him. I shall have to go to judgment and be judged by Him for my life of disobedience and sin. So my bad spiritual perception is something to be blamed, and it's working against me. It's a spiteful eye. It's an evil eye. That's the illustration of Christ towards me. So let's look at some of the focusing problems of the eye. Well, I am not educated in optical matters and medicine and science, but I shall just talk about things which we all know something about. The short-sighted eye, myopia, when you can't see distant objects very well, you've got good close vision, but you can't see far off. So you have some correction, some spectacles to correct your vision. There's a lot of this in the spiritual realm, short-sightedness, perhaps in youth, when this world seems so wonderful and everything is so marvelous to us. And all we see clearly in youth, of course this is a generalization, some young people here tonight may have very good distant spiritual vision. total generalization, but it's in youth when we tend only to see what's right in front of our eyes. We see tomorrow, today, tomorrow, the next day. We don't question things like eternity, what happens after death, what happens years away. We are short-sighted. We don't see the great issues of life. We don't see the context of life. The life is set in an eternal context, and we're made by God, and we're accountable to Him, and we should be honoring Him and paying homage to Him and serving Him and studying Him and obeying Him. We don't see those things, or we don't want to see those things. We are to be blamed. It's all part of the evil eye. We don't see God. We don't see the day of judgment. That's fairyland to us. We're young. The world is a huge place, and we're dazzled, and it's bright lights, and it's all so wonderful. And we haven't had too much of the suffering and the disappointment that it brings. The world seems huge. I remember reading an account years ago of a man who was an anti-aircraft gunner in London, here in this city, during World War II. And he told in his account of how when he'd been trained, but when he first was manning the anti-aircraft guns on top of, mounted on top of and beside shelters in the streets of London, he was astonished at how ineffective he thought the guns were. Because he pointed, there was a searchlight, would pick out an aircraft, and he'd point his gun, and the ACAC would fall in the light of the searchlight so far short of the aircraft. And his instructor said to him, well, what you don't realize is that that aircraft is a lot further away than you think. You want to wait until it's closer. He said, but I can see it. It's right there. Ah, yes, that's just an optical illusion. You see, the searchlight has picked out the plane. There's no context, so it seems much closer and bigger than it is. If the searchlights could get everything up there, you'd see actually how far away it was. You haven't got range for that. It's just an illusion. A lot of illusions like that. Well, friends, that's what it is when we're young. We're short-sighted. We only see the here and now, the present, the material things. Yes, but it's willful. We don't want to look any further. We don't want God. We don't want obedience to Him. We're to be blamed for that. So I can extend, if you don't mind, the parable, the miniature parable of Christ, and you can think of the long-sighted eye. Well, some young people have this problem with long sight, but it's mainly those of us who are older. They say roughly half the people who are over 40 get this long-sightedness. Yes, you can't see what's close to you anymore, so you've got to have your corrective glasses. And that's a problem which strikes us. Sometimes we can't see closer. Only our ambitions matter. Our long-term aspirations. What we're going to do for ourselves. We're visionaries. We're dreamers. What I'm going to be. Where I'm going. What I'm going to achieve. What I'm going to accomplish. What I'm going to possess. And all these things fill our horizons. And we can't see close up. We can't see how we are now. We can't see how we behave. We can't see our sinfulness. We can't see the troubles we unload on the people around us. We can't see our behavior characteristics, that we're sinners estranged from God, and we deserve His condemnation, and we've ignored Him, and we're living to ourselves. We can't see close up, and we can't see ourselves. We are being ruined now. And as we go on through life, we'll get worse. We'll become harder and more cynical about God, and we'll become more confirmed in our ways and in our character warts and defects, and we'll sow the seeds of bitterness in many relationships and so on. It's a kind of long-sighted eye, but we are to be blamed. Take heed, therefore, says the Lord, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And because of this failure to focus on spiritual things, we're full of darkness. Our views of God, our knowledge of Him, our knowledge of the way of salvation, it's all gone, dear friends. We can think of another, the blurred eye. Blurred vision. Could be, they say, due to astigmatism. It could be double vision caused by something quite different. And everything I see is distorted. Everything is muddled and confused. And that's true of most people spiritually. We are in a muddle about spiritual things. It's our fault. It's because we don't want to study God and learn of Him and think of Him. But however, I don't want to be a slave, we say. If I came to be a worshipper of God, if I believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior you speak of, if my life was changed and I walked with Him, I'd be a slave. I'd be a slave to God. I want to be free. I want liberty. We see everything in a muddle. To serve God, which is about holiness and godliness, and God changing our lives, and loving Him and having Him, and having His help and His blessing, instead of seeing it as amazing, wonderful, beautiful as it is, we see it as unwanted, at slavery. To be a child of God, to walk with Him, to be decent, to be honest, to be changed, to be made kinder and better and more sensitive in every way and more pure. I can't bear the sight of it. You see, it's an evil eye. We don't want that kind of thing. That's what's the matter with us. Good is enslaving, sin is liberty. And evil things are seen as good, and that's common these days. Faith is a chain, a chore, an awful thing. Pride is good. I like to feel good, we say. People like to preen themselves and be admired and be flattered. All this is good. It's given different language, different descriptions, self-esteem, and so on. So it's twisted vision, where ugly things from God's perspective become good and wanted and precious and acceptable. Even immorality and disloyalty within marriage. There are many, many people these days telling us, this isn't bad. Indulgence is everything. Experience, you're entitled to it. That's good, that's thrilling, that's wonderful. Terrible twistedness is coming in. The blurred eye, distorted vision. And it's because our hearts love sin rather than God. It's why we need changing and cleansing. It's why we need conversion. Sight disorder ruins everything, dear friends. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, to be blamed, it's spiteful to you and it wrecks your life. Thy body also is full of darkness. Some people have a blind spot in their vision. Their field of vision is impaired. It's just a part where it doesn't register due to certain damage, a patch with no image. Well, we all have that spiritually. I've already mentioned it. Our blind spot is ourselves. We don't see ourselves as sinners before God. We're blind to our own pride very often. That's just an example. Oh, we can see it in others. I don't like him, he's proud. I don't like her, she's very conceited. And the patch, we don't see our own pride. Sometimes we don't see our own deceitfulness. Sometimes all sorts of things we are blind to, we don't see. We build ourselves up in our imagination. We imagine we're good people. Yes, but before God's searching eye, our defects and our sins are evident and plain. We see only the good bits in ourselves. Actually, that's the smallest part of it, us, tragically. But that's all we see in ourselves. We remember our good deeds and not our bad ones. There's a blind patch over these things. There's a blind patch over the message of salvation very often. I was reading an obituary of a man who was a very widely published and well-known atheist. And he commonly said he could not see any rhyme or reason in faith in God. He could not understand it. He could not grasp why people would find it attractive in the least. But when he died, I saw his obituary in the newspaper, and it turned out that as a lad, it was in the paper, in his obituary, he had been to Sunday school. And I saw the name of the church that his parents attended and the Sunday school that it was. And it was a famous church for its adherence to truth and its clarity in proclaiming the gospel. He didn't understand any of that he'd been brought up to or that he'd learned as a youth. And in his own published statements, he could not see any value or purpose or rhyme or reason or substance in the Christian message. A blind spot was in place. He never took it in. But I had that. Now, I was converted to God in late teenage. And the significant thing I want to tell you at the moment is this, that after I was converted, I suddenly began to realize I'd heard this message that came to my heart and challenged me and convicted me and led me to seek the Lord. I'd heard this message many times in life. And I began to realize, well, I remember at this school and at that school, I heard all this explained, and I heard this here. And I had a friend who told me all about this, but it never registered. Now I see what it meant. Now I see what they were talking about. It never got through my blind spot. It never got through my willful, defective spiritual perception. Because as a child, as a youngster, as a teenager, I didn't want to hear it. I was too full of myself and my dreams and plans and this world and everything. I didn't understand it, but after conversion, well, I thought to myself, I've actually learned about this many times over and never taken it in. I was just vague, uninterested, switched off, against it. My capacity to understand, it may have operated in any number of other subjects, but it didn't operate in this because my barriers were up. Is it true of you? You have a barrier up of deep prejudice, unreadiness to listen or to hear? All this is suggested to us by the parable of Christ. It's the evil eye. Other things in this world seem so big. Like that anti-aircraft gunner, he thought the aircraft was huge and nearby was an optical illusion caused by the searchlight isolating it in the sky. What about you? Possessions are everything. They're so big, they'll satisfy all of me. Material gain can't satisfy the soul, can't satisfy the deeper you. Can't help you in sickness and death, can't strengthen you in need, cannot give you understanding of life's purpose and life beyond the grave. It seems so big, these things are very small. You can enjoy many things in this life. It's quite true, there are many beautiful things left in this world, but none of them are big. The only thing that's grand and big is life with God. Is finding him and learning of him and having him. That's the message of the eye, of spiritual perception. Dear friends, how much we need spiritual perception. Do you know about the creation? God created all things by his mighty power. The divine genius designed it all. And the stamp of God is upon everything that is made. That's what the theory of evolution tries to do. Explain how everything looks as though it's been designed, when according to scientific humanism, we're to believe that it hasn't been designed at all. It's all a pure accident, and everything over millions of years just happens to have flown together perfectly. That's what man's theory does, tries to explain in material things, things that cannot be explained in material terms. Dear friends, creation. God made all things. God made human beings higher than the animals. God made us individually, gave you your distinctive gifts, your balance of powers and propensities, your capacities, designed them all for you. You an object of his creation. His love was upon you, and he launched you into this world. But because of the fall of man, you also are a sinner with a sinful nature and against God. And you fall into sin, and yet God is a God of love, and he's made a way of salvation. And there's only one way of salvation, because God is holy and perfect and must destroy and punish all sin and guilt. In order to exercise his great love and to save men and women, he had to come himself and take their punishment and suffer and die for them and purchase the right to forgive them. Even God, with whom all things are possible, cannot just let you off your sin, because he is absolutely holy and absolutely just. And God must be faithful and true to all of his attributes. So in order to exercise his love towards you and me, he had to be our sin bearer and our Saviour. So Christ, second person of the triune Godhead, became incarnate and went to Calvary's cross. And God the Father put upon him the guilt of all those who would be forgiven, and punished him instead of us. The love of God beyond our comprehension. These things are just wonderful. God planned it before the world began. He saw the nations lie, all perishing in sin, and pitied the lost state this ruined world was in. And so in his love, Christ came and suffered, made an atoning death for his own people, those who would be saved. Do you understand about Calvary? Do you understand the greatest transaction in the history of the world took place on Calvary? When he took my sin, paid the price, so that he could give me his righteousness and his perfection and take me to eternal glory one day. Have you ever had any conviction of sin? May God give it to you. Take away that sight problem, that bad focus, that blurred vision. Suddenly I see myself. I am the sinner who needs salvation. I am the sinner who needs the forgiveness of God. I must go to Christ and believe in him and yield myself to him. Have you repented of your sin, exercised faith in Christ, and known that great change that changes your heart, your soul, your life? As Christ comes to you, it's unmistakable, it's wonderful, changes you, makes you his child, and is with you all the way through the remainder of life's journey. You have patchy sight, bad spiritual vision. Repent of it, dear friends. It's our fault. We're shutting him out. We need him. Come to him. Repent to him. Seek him and find him. Let me read the text, dear friends. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no dark part, you'll know God, you'll understand him, you'll have a new heart and a new mind. The whole shall be full of light. That's the power of true conversion. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, grant us that spiritual vision and discernment we need. Show us ourselves and our needs, O God. Show us our sinfulness of heart. Grant us to be truly repentant and to come and to yield to Christ. Help all of us this night, O Lord. Let us not go from this place continuing to spurn thee and to reject thee and to see nothing. Grant salvation and life and joy and peace. We ask these things in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn number 381. Hymn number 381. A grand hymn of John Newton. Come, my soul, your plea prepare.